With that being said, let's open and turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. As you know, we're in the series, Messy People, Mighty God. And our title for our teaching today is The Gift of the Present, Finding Purpose in Your Current Season. See, in our teaching today, Paul is going to continue to deal with the questions surrounding marriage, but he's also going to focus a bit, and I know that I have some of my young adults that are here, especially, he's going to focus a little bit more on what it means to be single. If you were with us a couple weeks ago, Pastor David taught on the first part of Corinthians 7, and we learned that in this chapter, Paul is responding to a question that came to him from this Corinthian church. The question had to do with relationship matters, although we don't specifically know what the question was. What Paul is looking to do is provide guidance in his opinion about this question that was presented. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, Paul is looking to speak about single life. But you have to remember something before we start reading our text. Think about the culture during this time of this letter being written. It was not supporting singleness. Nearly all ancient religions and cultures, they made an absolute value with regards to being married, the family, the bearing of children. The reality was that in the ancient world, you were often defined by your family, by your children, by your spouse. And this is going to lead us to our first point for today that you're going to see as the theme that Paul looks to provide for us. See, we're not defined by our status, but by our relationship to God as his children. That's what God is looking for from us. He doesn't care about your status. He doesn't care about how much money you make, if you're married, if you're single, if you're a college graduate, a high school graduate, whatever it may be, how many degrees you have. He doesn't care about that. What he cares about is your relationship with him. And my question for you today, is your relationship with him where it needs to be? Is it where he wants it to be? This is what we're going to see as we move forward in our passage. So if you have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, let's go down to verse 25. Let's read verse 25 and 26. God's word says, "Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for a man to remain as he is." Let's stop there. So at the beginning of verse 25, Paul tells us that he wants to talk about virgins. In the Greek language, virgins is parthenos, which is translated as an unmarried person. So what Paul is referring to with this term is singleness. But what's interesting, and some of you may have had that aha moment when you read it, is that Paul says, "I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment." So what does this mean? Paul's telling us that he didn't get a direct quote. It wasn't like he heard God's voice like we know in the Bible with Moses when he got the Ten Commandments. Paul's telling us this is his opinion. But he also clarifies this by telling us that his opinion is trustworthy based upon the Lord's mercy. So Paul is saying, look, I'm giving you some honest counsel. See, people who are in authority can easily and sometimes unintentionally abuse their opinions by making them in the form of commands. But a godly opinion doesn't do that. A godly opinion is honest. A godly opinion is trustworthy. I also want you to know that his opinion is trustworthy because, as we know from 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired through the Holy Spirit. Let's read the verse. All scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for what? For teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Peter adds to this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. He says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So God inspired the writing of the Bible to communicate his message to humanity, to teach, to rebuke, to correct, and to train people in righteousness. So although Paul starts out this passage by saying this is not a command from God, we must understand that it's still inspired by God through the Holy Spirit. Why? To teach us. Remember that Paul is addressing a specific set of circumstances that are going on in Corinth. And there was no teaching, there was no direct command specifically given by Jesus in his teaching during this time. But that doesn't prohibit the inspiration, that doesn't prohibit the reception of divine counsel through godly people. With this in mind, look at what Paul's telling us in this verse. He tells us that we should stay in whatever status we are in. We learned this 2 weeks ago from Pastor David's teaching, but Paul also mentions a present crisis. Now, there's several interpretations. Bible scholars have suggestions as to what Paul may be referring to with this statement. Some believe that it refers to the difficult times, the persecution that the Christians, that the Corinth church were facing at the time from the Romans. If this was the case, Paul is saying it's easier to deal with this persecution from the Romans if you're single. Well, that makes sense. Others suggest that he may be referring to the general stress and anxiety of living life. Remember, they felt that they were in the last days. They were anticipating when Jesus left, they were anticipating his return. They thought his return was imminent. So whatever the crisis was that Paul was referring to, he stresses, if you are a virgin, in other words, single, stay that way. Let's continue in our reading. Let's go to verse 27. He says, are you pledged to a woman? Do not seek to be released. Are you free from such a commitment? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. Let's stop there. In these verses that we've read, the counsel from Paul to the church in Corinth, and it also can apply for us today. And he is telling everyone that this is his opinion, and it does not call for a change. His opinion is to remain the same. We see that Paul mentions, if you're married, stay married. Don't look to be released. What's he referring to? Divorce. Pastor David spoke about this a couple weeks ago. He mentioned infidelity and abandonment as two reasons with regards to divorce for believers. But the reality is this, whether it's you're single, whether it's your marriage, you're each going to have your particular ups and downs. Because the temptation for people who are single is to compare the downs of singleness with the ups of marriage. In the same token, the temptation is for some married people to compare the downs of marriage with the ups of being single. Whichever status that you may be in, I'm here to tell you that both are equally dangerous. And I'm sure you've heard the phrase that the grass is always greener on the other side. But the reality is that whichever gift, and I use the word gift that we have, whether it's you're married or whether it is you are single, sometimes the other can appear to be more attractive. In these verses, though, I want you to see that Paul is actually speaking to the sovereignty of God. Paul's leading us to our next teaching point, and you'll see it up on the screen. Remember that if you are walking with God, you see that walking with God is underlined, and we'll touch it here in a few minutes. You are where you are and how you are because he has brought you to this point. So if you're walking with Christ, if you have said to him, Jesus Christ, you are the Lord of my life. I want to live the life that you want for me. I want to follow your will in my life. I'm going to be real with you in asking you this question. Who then are you to question the season that God has you in? Those from the harbor know that when I teach, there are points that sometimes we just have to be real. See, we can't be singing here in church about how great he is, that he is the great I am. Oh, how much we trust him. Yet we look to Baal, or we question the season that we are in within our lives. The other thing, and they're going to bring the point back up from the last teaching point, is the key element is that you have to be walking with God. This is the big issue, is where you're not where God wants you to be in your walk with him. See, some of you may be struggling today. You find yourself in difficult spots, and you're not happy. You can't figure out the season or where God has you. But the real problem is that you're also not where God wants you to be. Isn't it amazing that sometimes we think we know better than God? But Paul here is stressing to us. He's giving us this counsel that the one who truly knows what is best for us is the one and only sovereign God. So Paul's like, if you're going to make a mistake in life, make it by being in the side of God's sovereignty. But the reality is that's not a mistake at all. That's where you want to be in life. But you have to take time. And I pray that you take time to evaluate where you are in your walk with him, in your relationship with God. If you scroll down to verse 23 in that same chapter, look at what we read last week or 2 weeks ago. It says, you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. Brothers and sisters, each person as responsible to God should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. So if you are with God, he says, I'm hesitant to recommend that you change anything about that. That's godly counsel. But we also see in verse 27 and 28 where the Apostle Paul shows that it's his counsel, his opinion, not a command from God. He tells us that if you do change your status, you're not sinning. But something to note, this opinion is not placed at that same level as a command from God. You have to beware of You have to beware of opinions that are placed at the level of a command from God. So for what we're studying today, if a person chooses not to follow his counsel, the apostle says that person is not sinning. We know that if God does command something and we transgress and sin against that command, we sin. If we go against that command, we sin. But this is not a command. It's an opinion. Notice in these verses that he also instructs the Corinthians as to the outcome if they choose not to follow his counsel. In other words, his counsel, is informed by what he knows to be true. Pastor David 2 weeks ago said that it is believed that Paul was married at some point. We don't know, but based upon the status that he previously had, more than likely he was married. So based on this, it appears that Paul's indicating what he knows to be true with regards to marriage in and of itself. For those of you who are single, does not mean that there would not be any kind of trouble, is what Paul says. Paul says at the end of verse 28 that there will be many troubles in this life. I heard some of you echo when you read that. See, because many people believe naively that when you get married, all things get solved. No more difficulties. No more temptations. No more anything. Why? Because we're in love. Love conquers all things. Well, let me just share with you a couple things that marriage will not solve. Marriage will not solve loneliness. Marriage will not solve sexual temptation. Marriage does not solve deep emotional needs, grief, difficulties of life with regards to health, money, financial issues. We know is something that is so big. Stress, mental health. And the list can go on and on and on. But you have to understand that marriage alone does not hold two people together. I've been blessed. My wife Jackie and I in a couple weeks will be married 35 years. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that we've been able to deal. And I know some of you here that have been married even more years than that. And you've had to deal with the ups and downs of life. But this list is correct, as life and marriage are not easy. But here's the next point that I want to make sure that you have down as to what holds a marriage together. It's a commitment to Christ and then to each other that holds the marriage together. This is what will help you to deal with life together in marriage. As wonderful as marriage can be, it does not automatically solve all of life's problems. You first must be committed to Christ, to be a part of your lives, and then your marriage. See, you and your spouse must be committed to your relationship with Christ individually, and then together as husband and wife. I'm sure if you would ask other pastors, as I counsel marriages, oftentimes I ask the individuals, where are you in your relationship with Christ? Oftentimes the answer we get is, not as good as it used to be. But see, this is where you first must start. It's your relationship with Christ. One of the things that I love from our founding pastor, Pastor Mark, is that he said it was meant to be a threesome with Christ, the husband and the wife. But it first starts with your relationship with Christ. Let's continue in our passage. Verse 29. It says, what I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not. Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use these things of the world as if it not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. Let's stop there. Paul here is urging believers to make the most of their time for the Lord before the return of Christ. Remember that for the early church, as I mentioned, they felt that they were in the last days and they thought Christ's return was imminent. But for us today, this still serves as a reminder that from generation to generation, we should have that sense of urgency with regards to sharing the gospel. I know if you've been a believer and if you are of older age and you're here today, you've been hearing it since you were a child. I mentioned to you in the other services how I remember hearing about how God was about how Christ was about to return. Since I was a young boy sitting in my mother's lap at our church in these wonderful wooden hard pews. But Christ's return is imminent. We see what's going on. That doesn't mean it may not happen in our generation, but we're closer to it. And the reality is that life passes quickly and we have little time. Look at what Romans 10:4 says, and I'm sorry I don't have it on the screen, but I'm going to read it for you. How then can they call on the one that they have not believed? And how? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? One of the things that I love about this church is the fact that we have missionaries such as Mary and others that are all around the world that are sharing the good news. We do this here, but we also go outside. I was blessed to lead the team from the harbor in a mission trip, and I thank you. I know so many of you were praying for us, and we saw your comments on Facebook as we were updating the mission trip. But what was awesome was to see 18 individuals just going full board for the Lord, day and night. The schedule was hectic. Thank God they were young adults. They had the energy to keep going. But one of the special events that we were able to share was the fact that we were going to a school in Jamundí, Colombia. And we were going to the school to just be able to share with different students. And what was awesome was this story I'm about to tell you. So the day before we're about to go to Jamundí, I get a call from the pastor. And he says, "Pray, the government of Colombia has shut down all of the schools." All of the schools were closed. So I said, "Well, we're still going to go up there. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, they'll tell you, we got to Jamundí." And as we're there and we meet with the pastor, he tells us all the schools are shut down, but the one that we're going to is remaining open. You talk about a God thing. One school in the country open that director didn't want to shut down. They were even short of teachers, but she kept it open. And so we were able to go in and to minister to over 200 students. You're going to see it up on the board, some of the pictures from that event. They were able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were praying with them and just connecting with these students for half a day. It was awesome to see that. But not only that, we invited the students to come to the service that night. And several of them came to that service. Several of them came to the service that Sunday. See, that's what it's about. We don't have a lot of time, but we must get out there and share the good news of who Jesus is, no matter what season of life that you are in. The pastor from Jamundí was actually here this week. He taught in our Spanish campus with Pastor Ramon. And he shared with me that director of the school was so appreciative of us being there and sharing. We left him a care package of all kinds of different things for the student. And they were just so blessed. And we thank God for what he did. Let's continue on our passage. Go to verse 32. He says, "I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affair. How can he please the Lord? But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world. How can he please his wife? And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affair. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world. How she can please her husband. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord." So here Paul is providing again this godly counsel. And this counsel is for our next teaching point. Why? Because godly counsel promotes freedom, and we have freedom in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." We have freedom in Christ. Paul is promoting this freedom for all. But here's what we can take from this counsel. Paul understands that our homes, your possessions, your financial security, all of that is important. But what we're seeing here from Paul is that we should not make these things, these items, the ultimate goal in our lives. See, too many times we lose focus as to what really we should be, what should be our ultimate goal. We should strive to live unhindered lives by the cares of this world. This means not getting ourselves involved in things that are going to take away from our abilities to do God's work, whatever God has called you to do. In verse 33 and 34, we read that Paul understands. He understands our free responsibilities that married men and women must take care of. But Paul accurately calls this being divided. It's not to our shame, but just the reality of being a godly husband, being a godly wife in this world. But you should be thinking of how you can nurture your family. Yes, you must earn a living. Invest well in the lives of those that God has trusted to you. But we also must make every effort to keep things that divide your time, that divide your effort modest. Keep them manageable so that they don't interfere with our service to God. The reality is that no matter what season you are in, there will be items that will look to divide you, look to divide your time. Whether single, married, widowed, divorced, this is a part of life. But Paul's counsel here is not looking to restrict us, as we read. Look at this next teaching point. No matter what status of life you're in, place your focus on God. Paul wants us to focus on God. Don't allow the stress of singleness, married life, your kids, retirement, whatever else is going on, cause you to lose focus on what God wants for you. Don't lose your focus on what God is asking from you. It's been our focus here at the church. One of the things that you've been hearing across our campuses is to go out and disciple others for Christ. Give all that you have in your remaining years of your life to God. That's an investment that will never be wasted. Oftentimes we're looking at about leaving a legacy. Well, the best legacy that you can leave is your devotion and your service and your work for God. Time on earth is passing away, we read. So we must not lose our focus on Him. We also read that single people, they often feel that pressure to be married. We talked about this. But the reality is that in life, just like the seasons in a year, there's going to be transitions. There's transitions always to something. So let's say a single person gets married. So they transition from that single to the married life and everything that married life brings. But they also transition from a married couple with no kids to a married couple with young kids. And the next season, I know some of you really enjoy, it's the married couple with teenagers. I understand, I've been a youth pastor for many, many years. But then you also have something that my wife and I have recently experienced, and I know some of you really cherish, being empty nesters. We're trying to get used to that. We'll see. But there's always a season to deal with in life. But no matter what your current season is, Paul again is urging us, focus on God. Paul specifically in these verses we read is using the season of singleness. But Paul also wants us to know that a Christian and a single that allow their focus to be pleasing the Lord. His reasoning is that a single person can devote more time. So if you're single, you can devote more time and attention, focus to serving the Lord than someone who is married with or without children. This is true. But the reality is that these words for this time are considered shocking if you think about this. For Paul to say and make this declaration of being single and staying the way you are, as I mentioned earlier, the ancient world put that emphasis on the family. Of who you had, your kids, specifically the male heirs. In the Greek world, having a legal heir was of infinite importance, especially if it was a family of wealth. So this could be why Scripture so heavily leans on this family imagery for believers who are sons and daughters of God. Let me share this next point with you. Your season in life does not determine your worth. Your worth is found in Christ Jesus. Your worth is not found being born in the right family, married, or to the right person, or your ability to have kids. Your worth is found in Christ. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared beforehand for us to do. Isaiah 43:4 says, "You are precious in my eyes. I love you and I have chosen you. Your worth is in Christ Jesus because he loves you." It's not about your status. It's not about your season in life. Let's finish our passage, verse 36 through 40. If anyone is worried that he might not be acting honorably toward the virgin he is engaged to, and if his passions are too strong and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He's not sinning. They should get married. But the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion but has control over his own will and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. So then, he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does better. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she's free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. In my judgment, she is happier if she stays as she is. And I think that I too have the Spirit of God. So because this is an opinion, Paul's saying there are options, there are allowances. We just read them. So if you choose to follow the apostle's opinion here, again, it is not a sin. As you read this section of the passage was several contrasts. You see the word if and but are employed throughout. And a godly opinion may be accepted and it could be rejected without being in jeopardy of sin. But this is what's awesome of God's words and his commands. God's word, God's commands, they deal with a core problem. And I'm going to tell you what is not an opinion. The gospel is not an opinion. The gospel of Jesus Christ is truth. So no matter what season you are in, give your all for Christ and his kingdom. Look at what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. This is the gospel. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised on the third day. As I look to wrap up this passage and just summarize it, I want to share with you this short illustration. I want you to imagine a sailor, and he's preparing for two different voyages. For one of the voyages, he has to travel light to change course at a moment's notice. He's able to respond to whatever storms, whatever opportunities, whatever comes into his life. For the other journey, he carries a precious cargo. A cargo that requires attention, a cargo that requires his attention, a care to it. Our passage today spoke about marriage, and it spoke about singleness with wisdom. See, the Apostle Paul, he acknowledges that both paths are honorable before God, but each comes with different responsibilities and freedoms. Paul tells us that the unmarried person is like that unencumbered sailor. They're able to devote themselves fully to the Lord's work without division. Their attention can be singularly focused on spiritual matters. The unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs and how he can please them. With the married person, however, he has taken on a sacred responsibility. Like our sailor with the precious cargo, they must divide their attention between serving the Lord and caring for their spouse, caring for their family. But see, this is not a burden. You can't take that as a burden. Either one of a season, it's a calling, a holy stewardship of a relationship that God honors. I want to leave you with a final teaching point. Please note that the choice between singleness and marriage, it's not about right, it's not about wrong, but about different ways to serve God faithfully with the gifts and the callings that he has provided you. The heart of Paul's message is this: whether you're married or single, our ultimate commitment is to who? It's to him. See, the sailor's true destination, regardless of his cargo or lack thereof, is the same harbor. He's going to the same place, that faithful service to Christ. So with this in mind, I encourage you today that you look at the season that you're in, that you look at it as a gift, a present from God. The title for our teaching today was "The Gift of the Present." See your current season as the present from God. Find your purpose in the current season, as the second part of our title says. But how do you do this? Place your focus on him. When you do this, you will find your purpose in the current season that he has you in. I promise, he does not have you in a season just to be sitting idly by. There is a reason. Find your purpose in the season you are in. Please bow your heads. As I mentioned in the teaching, the reality is that some of you may be in a season that you're not happy. You may be dealing with things in your life right now. Let's be real, you may even be questioning God. But as the teaching indicated, one of the things that I want you to evaluate right now is, where are you in your relationship with God? Are you where God wants you? How is your relationship with God? Focus on that right now. We've had many hands raise up when I've asked this question, when I presented this that I'm going to do to you right now. Because if you in your evaluation can honestly say that you're not where you should be with God in your walk, in your relationship, I don't want you to leave here without us praying for you. So if that's you, if you currently have items in your life that need to change with regards to your walk because you're not where you need to be, where God wants you to be, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to raise your hand. We want to pray. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. I see your hand up in the balcony. Anybody? Amen. Amen. Our focus, your focus, no matter what season of life you're in, may it remain on him. Father God, you saw the hands that were raised. Those that are watching at home are digital disciples. That they know that their lives right now are in their walk, it's not where it needs to be. I pray, God, that through your Holy Spirit, that you could just show them. Show them what it is that's dividing their attention, what it is that's taking their focus, their walk, away from where it needs to be. I pray, God, that they're able to see that, that they're able to adjust, to make the changes, that they may seek to spend more time with you in prayer, in your word, that their focus just becomes more about you. And as they're in the place that you want them to be, God, they're going to find that they're going to be able to hear your voice. But first, they have to be where you want them to be. Father God, I pray for everybody that is here, that is hearing my voice right now. Whatever season of life that they're in right now, Lord, I just pray, God, that you could just use them in such a special way for you as we learn the time is passing away. I pray that they can use their season of life to glorify you, God, to do as we did in Colombia and across this city and all the ministries that we have here, Lord, that keep just serve and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. I pray those that are praying for a transition of season, I pray, God, that they see it not as a clutch, but that they see it as a present, that they see it as a gift, that they see it as an opportunity, Lord. Use them in the current season that they're in. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. May we apply it to our lives. And we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Yeah, let's give the Lord a clap offering. So if you've been with us, you know that we're ending our services a little bit differently. I'm going to be in the welcome room with my wife, Jackie, and some other pastors. If this is your first time in our service at our church, we welcome you to come over. We want to get to know you. We want to introduce ourselves to you, tell you a little bit about our church. So we ask that you don't leave. We're going to do a praise and worship here in a second. But again, if you are new, please come and see us. Don't forget that Mary's going to be in the center circle as well. She'd love to come up and see you, talk to you a little bit about what God's doing in Peru. God bless you all.
What a great and mighty God we serve, church. The great I Am, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He exists all on his own. He needs help from nothing and no one, yet he chooses to love us and to use us anyway. Let's sing together. The mountains shake before you.
Mountains shake before you. Running free at the mention of your name, King of Majesty. There is no power in hell, nor any stand before the power and the presence of the great I Am. The great I Am. The great I Am.
So much for being with us this morning, church. Don't forget about our missionary out in the commons, and don't forget to stick around and fellowship for a little bit. We'll have our prayer partners up front, and don't forget about our tithes and offerings if you choose to give here or online. But I love you, church. It's so good to see you, and I hope to see you again later this week. You guys have a blessed afternoon.
Sometimes heartache is the gift I need.